Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today on all campuses. Come on, you can do better than that. Looks so good. You can be seated if you're good looking. If you're ugly, remain standing. We want to pray for you. No, I'm just kidding. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about, it kind of goes along the lines of confidence. Just being, this isn't talking to this, by the way, this here, just not going. These are my notes. I cheat a little. I mean, I don't cheat. I write stuff down because I'm prepared. But then this has to talk to that. And if that doesn't talk to that, then I can't see that. And then I don't know this. And then I got to go there and get back here. I'm scared right now. Can you all pray for me? Because I need my notes. But anyway, confidence. Everybody shout confidence. Have you ever tried to, and you don't have to answer this audibly because it might be uncomfortable, but have you ever tried to fit in with some people and you're like, man, I want to fit in with them. They're the cool people. I want to fit in with them. But the problem with fitting in is you become more like them oftentimes and less like you. And the unique part about you is God made you. And there's parts of you you don't like. There's parts of me I don't like. I'm sure there's parts of you that other people don't like, and I'm sure there's parts of me that you don't like, but for the bottom line, God created you with a purpose and for a purpose and on purpose, and the enemy and the inner me is always trying to tell you, you're no good, David, you're no good. And then you start nitpicking everything about you, and you're like, I want to fit in with them instead of becoming the best version of you that you can be, because there's only one you and you got to be the you that you can be. Now, again, it's got to be the best version of you. It can't be that thing that we do. Well, that's just the way I am. It's the way my dad was, the way my mom was. Well, you need therapy. Let's work on that, okay? We're not saying that we're going to continue down the path of narcissism or bad behavior, but we're saying Jesus is working on me, and I'm not who I'm going to be, but I'm certainly not what I used to be. The fact that I went to church today, come on, the first weekend in March, says something about me. So I think sometimes we try to become other people because we use comparison. Can't help but compare. Anybody old enough to remember before we had Instagram? Raise your hand. Before Facebook. Before cell phones, come on, raise your hand. Remember when you had a phone at home? Now we got AT&T and we lose it for a day and we're like, we're gonna die, right? Things change. But because of social media, we tend to compare ourselves and look at our life compared to their life. And these people are liars, by the way. She's like, just woke up like this. Lips on, lashes on, extensions on. You're a liar. You either stayed up all night. Come on, somebody, and passed out, took a nap. So we're always comparing. But God doesn't want to compare ourselves. And in fact, the Bible says, don't compare yourself with yourself to someone else. If you do, here's what he said, it's unwise. Just unwise. It's going to make you think that there's something that you need to fit in when really I want to kind of put a mark in your mind right now. I don't want you to become someone else. I want you to actually belong. There's a difference between belonging and trying to fit in. I've been in a lot of situations. I find myself all the time in places that I don't fit in, but I belong there. I'm not going to do the drugs, but I belong there. I'm not going to participate in that behavior, but I belong there. See, God will actually put us all in spaces and places where we belong, even though we don't fit in. We don't have to become more like the world to impress the world. We just need to be around the world. Now, here's what happens in a lot of churches. A lot of churches speak Christianese. In fact, we'll do it here. Some of you have been Christians a long time, or at least you've been acting like Christians for a long time. So we could say this, God is good all the time and you know the lingo. If you're new here and you didn't know that, that's okay. But this is churchese. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. That's Christianese. It's like if you go to Taiwan, you're not going to speak what you speak right now. Nicole preaches all over the world or their television show, and they make her lips move, and somebody else is talking Farsi or a different language, and it's really not a language that she knows, but somebody is speaking it for. So the language that I want you to learn to speak is, we're supposed to be out in the world, but we're just being normal. I mean, as normal as we could be. You be you. You've got to be yourself. And if you compare yourself to other people, what you'll do is you'll always be beating yourself down. And the enemy and the enemy will say, hey, you don't fit in and you don't belong. You do belong in these places. In fact, let's go right now to a story in the life of Joseph. Remember Joseph in the Bible? Joseph, by the way, is a type of Jesus. Redeemer, kinsman redeemer, brother, savior. So Joseph now, Joseph is sold by his brothers. Don't you hate that when your brothers try to sell you, right? Sell you out, you sold me out. So his brothers are doing life with him. Joseph really has, he really wants to fit in with them. But they have an idea and they take him because he has done something which is a mistake. He actually starts telling them, someday I'm going to climb the ladder of success and I'm going to be successful. And God's put this in his heart, but because he's young and stupid, he's telling people what God's going to do. In the Bible, it says, don't cast your pearls before swine. In other words, it's saying, don't tell those pigs what you're going to happen in your life because they're going to bring on insults and injury to you and say, who do you think you are? You grew up in the same trailer park we did. What makes you think different? Because when you, there's something on the inside of a lot of you, and some of it's been mashed down through divorce, a betrayal, and heartache, that you knew in high school, you had the speech, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to make a difference. But deep down, you started telling people that, and it brought on heartache, and it put pressure on you. And then there was some setbacks that you didn't come back from that now the enemy is saying you're no good. And so that's where Joseph's at. He's told them something he shouldn't tell them. They got jealous. Envy and jealousy will bring on a lot of hate. And they throw him in a pit. A couple days later, they come back and they pull him out. And he's like, oh, thank God, you guys changed your mind. They're like, no, we had a better idea. We could actually sell you into slavery. So now they take advantage of the brother and they sell the brother. And he goes through, he thinks he's going to the palace. He kept telling them, I'm going to the palace. I'm going to be rich. I just can't wait to be king. He's going to do all this stuff. And they're like, what about you now? Now he's not going to the palace. He's going to the pit. Pit after pit after pit. And you, ladies, it's not Brad Pitt. This is armpit. This is a bad pit. And so he goes from pit to pit to pit to pit to pit. And now he's accused of things. In fact, he's ripped, if you read the Bible, for real. He's shredded, he's ripped, he's attractive. And now the leader of the country, his wife, says, I want you. This is like a Netflix special right now. I want you to go to bed with me. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it, which is, I know, very unusual, but this is the story that we're told. And so he said, no, he knew that I've got to climb this ladder. I got to do this thing God's called me to do. And I can't come down off this ladder to be with you. And so she tears her clothes off and screams rape. Guess who's going to jail? Joseph. Now, jail is a bad place for Joseph to be. But notice when Joseph goes to jail, if you've read the story before, he doesn't become like the prisoners. It would be very easy to become like the people that he's around. After all, this would be less beatings. This would be cigarette trades. Come on, go with me on this right now. I mean, this would be smart if I just fit in. But he said, we could argue, he didn't belong there. Because he didn't. He didn't belong there. But while he was there, he didn't try to become them. He said, while I'm here, I'm going to change the prison system. And if you read the Bible, he did just that. He didn't become like them. They become like him. And then now he goes on to Pharaoh. Remember this story, Pharaoh? He goes on to Pharaoh's world and goes after heartache and betrayal. But then now he's risen to where he's the second in command. He's actually climbed to the heights of the ladder. He can see now. I can see clearly now the pit is gone. And he can see. And now his brothers come to him. They don't know it's him. You follow me? Raise your hand at every campus. Come on, well than ever. They don't know it's him. They come and they see Joseph, and he has changed so much that they don't recognize him. May I tell you, if you give God in this church a year and you go through Growth Track and you get in small groups, you'll have to introduce yourself to yourself because you will not recognize yourself because you'll say, a year ago, I would have shot you for that. Come on. A year ago, I would have slapped you, but I'm going to turn the other cheek. If you're like most of us, you're like, I've only got four of them, so we're done now. But you start changing. So the brothers come because there's been a famine in the land and they need help. It's just what he said when he was a kid. I'm going to be king. I'm going to take care of you guys. You're going to bow down. But they weren't ready for that. But they're ready now because they're hungry. By the way, I'm going to pause the sermon and put in a commercial break right now. There's going to be a lot of people this year and the next year and the next year after that that are going to really need you to be who God called you to be. Because they're looking to the Republicans for help, and they're looking to the Democrats for help. Listen, I've been up to Washington with Democrats and Republicans and had dinner at the White House. Let me tell you what I do know. They're all screwed up, and they don't know what they're doing. In fact, it's disappointing when you go there because you're like, this is it? You know, the answer is Jesus. The answer is the Word of God. The answer is the local church. The answer is good God-fearing Americans getting up, fighting for the country. Come on, somebody. That's what we're going to do. But don't look to them. Look to Him. I want to say it again. Don't look to them. Look to Him. I know I say Jesus a lot, but I don't want you to get it twisted at our church. Like, you know, we're not like a church. Like, we believe in a higher power, our most gracious Heavenly Father, whoever you are. We don't do that here. It's only one way into heaven. I wish there were many ways, but there's not. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. Jesus is the answer. He's the hope of the world. And I talked to Him this morning, and we're good. He likes us. We're going to be fine. Come on, one more time. Weldon Ferguson, all y'all, Florida. Now, so the brothers come, and they don't recognize Him. He did recognize them. Because they look exactly the way they did in high school. They're talking about the same stuff they used to talk about. Have you ever been with some people and you're like, really? I haven't seen you in 20 years and all you want to talk about is what we did in 1984? Yes. Where we went in 1984? Come on, raise your hand. It's like, is there anything new? Can we at least go to 1995? What about 2005? Did anything happen around? Okay, y'all get what I'm saying? Some people get stuck. And they're stuck in a point in time. And that's what I love about church, and that's what I love about today at all the campuses. You can go through Growth Track. What's Growth Track? It helps you connect with God, connect with people, and discover your purpose and make a difference. It's real quick, and you go in there, and you can become a member of the church, but then you learn about your personality, and you might have multiple personalities. And so you figure out what ticks you off and what really makes you tick. And so when you do that at the local church and you start becoming faithful and you start getting involved, what happens is you take yourself out of the crowd. You get out of the people pile and you start really making a difference for Jesus, which is going to fill the hole in your soul because drugs didn't do it, money didn't do it, a bigger house didn't do it, a maid didn't do it, a car didn't do it, a boat didn't do it, a horse didn't do it. Let me say, nothing's going to do for you what Jesus can do for you. They didn't change. He changed. Now, here's one of the ways that he did it differently. His brothers were staying one foot in the world and one foot in their dream. So many times, people look over here at this ladder and they go, oh, that's the Jesus side, and I want to be like them. I have great friends. In fact, when the shooting happened at Lakewood, Joel called me there, and so he said it'd be good if me and Nicole came down. So we did. So we were at the second service after the shooting at Lakewood. And I can look at Joel and try to preach like Joel. I can imitate Joel. I'll show you real quick. I just put on a blue suit. I love him. He's one of my best friends. And all you have to do to be Joel is you got to blink a lot. I never like to close a broadcast without giving you an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus as personal Lord and Savior of your life. I like to get started with something funny. Come on, somebody. This is Joel. But I can't. I wish... Actually, I think I'd have a better shot if my name had a J name. You got Joel, you got Jake, you got Joyce, you got Jesus, you got Jesse. Come on, somebody. It's a lot of J names. But I can't look at Joel's life and go, I want to climb Joel's ladder because my thing over here is kind of blank. But sometimes you can just flip it as they just did, and now the Jesus side becomes what I'm called to do, not what they're called to do. What he's doing and what a lot of your friends are doing is what God called them to do. But it's not what God called you to do. So Jesus will flip right over on your side, building pools or being a professional ball player or owning a Meanies. I mean, all these different corporations and places you work, you're doing your thing. Here's what I want you to do. Don't try to fit in with other people. Because when you do that, you can only climb so high. Because I can only, how many of y'all get nervous about right now? I mean, I can only climb so high and I get here and I'm like, oh man. And now you're thinking, you know, by the way, I ride motorcycles, fly airplanes, never broke a bone, but I broke my ankle right there on a roller coaster in a sermon, so this is a very dangerous time for me. But I can't really climb as high as I need to climb if I got 1 foot over here and looking at, I want to be like them. You got to decide. Unlike Joseph's brothers, they were trying to play both sides. Joseph said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be Joseph, and I'm going to climb all the way to the top of my ladder. I'll be able to see all the way, and I'll be able to do what God... Somebody ought to shout hallelujah to this. I'll be able to do what God called me to do, because this is my ladder. Y'all nervous? You want me to get down? No, don't you? I can just tell you. Like, oh, Pastor David, get down. Get down. Get down. I want to go to that passage and break it down for you just a little bit. So you're familiar. Genesis 45. Then Joseph could no longer control himself. This is when his brothers came, this story I told you. He couldn't control himself. Before his attendants, he cried out and he said, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. He made himself, every campus shout, why? He made himself known. That proves they didn't recognize him. Then it goes on to say, he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard him. Then Joseph said to him, here's the key thing, I underlined it for you. He said to them, I am Joseph. I know they'll put it on the screen, I'll wait for him. We'll just wait, I know they've got it. It's very important to me that it's up that you see it because you don't bring your Bible. I know they got it. I know they did. I sent it to them. There. Everybody shout, I am. That's the wrong scripture. We are, guys, in Genesis 45, okay? And I want you to go. Are you there now? Okay. Next verse. We were past that. I think I woke them up back there. Give them a hand for waking up. It was a good team, right? I am Joseph. Everybody shout that.
I am Joseph.
Every campus. What is it?
I am Joseph.
Now he knows who he is. Until you know who you are, you're a wondering generality. But if you're confident, not cocky, but confident, you know who I am. I know who I am. I'm David Dwayne Crank. I preach different than everybody else. I do life different than everybody else. If I try to be somebody else, I'll come in a really bad position. Nobody can be a better me than me. That's why I got to be me. You got to be you. Everybody shout, I got to be me. So he said, hey, listen, I am Joseph. One more time. What? I am Joseph. Then he asked the question. He said, is my father still living? His brothers weren't able to answer them because they were terrified at his presence. They know, oh my gosh, he's the most powerful man in this whole country now. Joseph is. And so Joseph said to his brothers, he wants to make them feel comfortable. One, he said, come close to me. And when they had done this, he said, I am your brother, the one you sold to Egypt. I'm glad that he said that. I prayed about it. I'm like, wonder why he said, I'm the one. Did he say that to make them feel bad? No, because he told them, don't stress out about it. I think he felt comfortable. Listen now, he feels comfortable enough to talk about it. Yeah, we can talk about it. He said, you guys sold me. Yeah, that's right. But I have now, because of prison, because of the rape case, because of the false accusations, all that stuff, because of all that, I know who I am now. I'm not confused trying to be like you guys. I am Joseph. I am who God called me to be. I got to do me. You be you. I be me. And I'm confident, come on, son, that the God of the universe created me with a purpose. Somebody ought to get excited. And I got to climb my ladder, not your ladder. And I can't look at your ladder wishing I was on. No. You can't do that. You got to be you. Now, verse 5, he says, hey, guys, this proves that he had went through therapy in himself through the help of the Holy Spirit. And now he said, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here because it was to save lives. God sent me here. Now here's a real difference maker. You can become a victim or a victor. And the victim mentality is they betrayed me and they hurt me and they, I know all these, I'm not making light of this. It's true. Those are bad things that happened to you. Or you could say, I'm going to flip the script and I'm going to say, it didn't happen to me, it happened for me. And you can't keep me down. Just because it happened to me, I'm going to turn it around and make it a testimony. Come on, somebody. And every what the devil meant to harm me, God is going to turn it for my good. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Somebody ought to give God praise today. This is your story. He said, hey, don't get stressed out. Don't be angry with yourselves. By the way, a lot of people are angry with themselves. People are looking for acceptance and love, and I could say this about everybody at all of our churches today. I know something about you. And I know you're thinking, how in the world do you know me? I've never met you. We've never went to lunch together. We've never did this together. Here's what I know about you. I know that you're the type of person that wants to do something better with your life and help people, or you wouldn't have went to church on the first weekend of March and worked on improving yourself. But deep down, there's some things about you that you're angry with about you. And because you're angry with those things inside yourself, sometimes you're mean to other people, not because they did anything wrong, but there's something wrong on the inside of you. And so you feel like there's an imposter syndrome, and so therefore all the kids said was, I want new tennis shoes, and you're like, you think money grows on trees? I didn't have new tennis shoes when I was, hey. Apparently nobody's been asked by a teenager for another $900 pair of tennis shoes. That triggered you, but there was a root that manifested that fruit. But if we go to church, it doesn't solve all the problems, but we start kind of figuring it out. In other words, some of you can't afford therapy, but I'm helping you today. Come on, somebody. You're like, I can't afford it, but I think it's helping. He's no Dr. Phil, but it ain't too bad. Okay, so he says to them, don't stress out about it. I'm not angry about it. It didn't happen to me. It happened for me. Because if not, you walk around miserable. Life is too short and you're too pretty to walk around miserable. You need to walk around smiling where people think, what is he up to? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be exceedingly glad therein. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord today. They'll be singing, they'll be dancing, there'll be victory. That's the way you ought to come into church instead of like, oh, it's been a hell of a week. I tell you, I don't know, I barely made it in here. I don't even know. Where's the coffee at? Take these kids off my hands. In fact, can they stay here till Tuesday? Don't you have like a Tuesday thing? So sometimes we look like on the outside what's happening on the inside. But again, back to Joseph, staying true to who he's called to be. Actually, Pharaoh, he's a wicked man. You know the story. You've seen the Jesus movies, right? Verse 8, though, it says, so he said, it wasn't you that sent me here, but God. He made me, check this out, he made me a father, a spiritual father to Pharaoh. The guy who went to prison, the guy that was sold out by his brothers, the guy that was in a pit, now becomes the most powerful man to the most powerful man because he stayed true to the ladder that he was called to climb. Yeah, they had people shaking his ladder, people trying to knock him off the ladder. In fact, I noticed that they put the sandbags here. I love that our team is like, let's protect the old man. He owes $16 million. We do not need him falling off the ladder. But there's some people sent into your life to shake your ladder. Some people called to knock you off the ladder. I heard a joke. It's a long time ago, but it just popped up in my mind, so we're going to go for it. Laugh even if it's not funny. Help me out, would you? Okay. A little boy ran inside. He said, Mama, Mama. You got to help me. The ladder fell down. She said, get your dad. Tell him. He said, I think he already knows. He's hanging off the gutter. That wasn't too bad. Thanks for laughing anyway. Sometimes people knock your ladder and you're hanging off the gutter. And after this betrayal, this divorce, now you think you're no good. I got two kids and nobody's going to want me. How old are the kids? Send a picture of the kids. Come on, somebody. Let's look at these. When I saw Nicole, I liked her immediately, but then when I found out that I would get a seven-year-old boy, and I always wanted a kid, I'd never have to change a diaper, that he was 7 years old, he's old enough to take out the trash. Come on, somebody, I got an employee, and I got a mom, and she's like, oh, but I'm embarrassed because I got stretch marks. I'm not, those aren't stretch marks, those are beauty marks for the child that you gave me, and now everything I love came out of her. Come on, somebody. The girl that was singing came out of her. The church came out of her. I can't. If she ever left me, I'm going with her. I'll get her and we'll come back. But you and I have to realize something. If we go around bitter, we won't be better. Pharaoh wouldn't have had a spiritual father. The people at your work that are counting on you to invite them to Easter, Good Friday's coming, Holy Week's coming, Easter's coming, and your friends who act like, I don't go to church, they're on this inside of their soul, they're asking, God, please let them invite me to church. Because there really is a heaven. Raise your hand if you believe there really is a heaven. How many of y'all believe there really is a hell? How many believe there really is a God? And how many believe there really is a devil? Some of you are like, I don't believe in the devil. The devil told you that, stupid. He's real and he's a liar. Okay. So we have to realize there's a battle going on. There's a battle of light and darkness. This ladder, that ladder. Your call, their call. But Pastor David, you don't know what happened to me. I don't know what happened to you. I know. I can only tell you my story. Lived in a trailer. Didn't have any food. Super poor. Finally did a little bit better. My dad, my hero at 56. I'll be 55 this year. At 56, struck down in his prime of cancer. My mom marries some guy within a few months that tries to destroy the church. The church grows from 200 people to 2,000, and she comes against me, and the board has to fire her, and she hates me, and I haven't seen her in 20 years, and I give her $1,000 every week and have for 20 years because I honor my mom, but we can't be together. And it hurts painfully when you don't know what it costs to be me. You don't want to like to be through a divorce, a betrayal, a hurt, and lose your dad. I've got a lot of things I could cry about, or I could say it didn't happen to me, it happened for me, so I could tell somebody about my story. That what the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for your good. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Listen, where you're at right now is not where you're gonna be. 24 is the year of open door for you. I wish I had half a church today that would say, hey, that's my story. I'm coming out of this. God will provide for you. There's one last scripture I want to go to, and then we'll let you go. It's like the little boy said, you know, Mom, if we give in the offering now, will you let us go? Like you're in a hostage situation. Genesis 15:7. You know the story of Abraham, and Abraham had this town that he lived in, Ur, and God brought him out of Ur, and I wanted to read it to you. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Ur. Ur. It's kind of a cool town. Say it with me, Ur. You kind of sound like a pirate. Some of you put an Ur at the end. I think a lot of you have been in the land of Ur. You wish you were happier, skinnier, richer, more muscular, more popular, an influencer, a better preacher. We live our life in the land of Ur. You say, no, listen. God's taking me out of the land of Ur. Not who I want to be. But I'm going to just keep getting better. And you know, one of my things that I do is I sell the happy Jesus. I don't sell the, you better go to church and be like me. Don't you want to come to church and be like me? If you don't come to church and be like us, and don't smoke, don't chew, and don't run with girls that do, you're on your way to hell. One foot is in a banana peeling, and the other one's slipping right now into hell. I'm telling you, you're going to hell. Don't you want to come to church and be like me? I'm like, not really. I want to tell you about a Jesus who said, hey, come here. I'm not pointing the finger at you this way in an accusatory manner. I'm pointing the finger at you this way. I'm here to put a ring on your finger, a rope on your back, and I'm not mad at you. I'm madly in love with you. We're going to kill the fatted calf, and the rest of your life is going to be the best of your life. That's the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know says, hey, woman, where are your accusers? And he said, oh, they're all gone. Then he says, go and sin no more. Does he want us to live in the bad behavior? No. He wants us to get out of the pig pen, but he loves you right where you are. And here's the thing I know about God. He is so understanding. Just gets me how kind he is. And no matter how many times you mess up, he's going to keep holding your ladder. If you can see it today, God's down here holding your ladder going, go. Come here. I'm scared, Papa. This is my grandson. Papa, I'm scared, Papa. I'm scared. Papa's got you. I got him in a hot tub yesterday, and he got in there, and it's deep in the middle, but it's not deep at all, and he got in just totally naked. Just ripped his pamper off and put him in there and prayed, God, I hope nothing bad happens. Right? He's 3. And he got in and he said, hot, 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 hot. It wasn't too hot. We lowered the temperature. Hot, hot, hot. And he held onto me so tight. And he said, I'm scared, Papa. It's deep. I said, it's not deep. And after a minute or two, I convinced him that he could stand. And he said, it's not deep. And then he kind of walked, and then it kind of does the thing where it kind of, you know, contours to your booty. Come on, somebody. And he kind of slid it. He said, oh, Papa, Papa. He's just grabbing me. Papa, Papa, Papa. And I said, no, it's okay. I said, you can walk all the way around this hot tub. It's just in the middle where it's deep. Don't go in the middle. But Papa's got you right here. He'd make a move, and he'd hold my hand. And I'm telling you, God's that way. If you knew the plans he had for you, if you knew that it was the devil trying to convince you that you made too many mistakes for your marriage to ever work out again, that your kids doing this or that, or you found out they went on a website, or I understand bad things happen, but I'm begging you to don't give up on God, because he has not given up on you. And I'm begging you not to give up on yourself. Come on, somebody. I know they beat you down. They told you you were no good. But guess what? You're going to be happier. You're going to be skinnier. You're going to be funnier. You might, with drugs, be more muscular. And Ozempic might help. I don't know. But I do know that God called you to the top of this ladder. Sometimes you also, as I close at all of our campuses, I got to go to Earth City and preach if you want to follow me, and then I come back here and preach. Then I go to Earth City and preach, and then I would say that I would go to Chick-fil-A, but they're closed on Sunday. I heard about a food truck up here, though, that there's a food truck that's selling chicken there on Sunday, which is brilliant. The Chick-fil-A. They call it Side Chick. No, I should not have told that. I hear stuff and I say stuff and I shouldn't say stuff. That's why Joel reads his jokes. Like, their editors go, don't do that one. By the way, this is a non-genetically modified sermon today. I don't, you know, the church, the powers that be at the church don't agree with everything I say. And I don't agree with everything that I say. So that's good. I want you to stand with me. Nobody moving around at every campus. And I want to pray for you. Here's what I want to do as we kind of wrap this up. Is this is a moment in your life right now that this Sunday God told me to preach this sermon. And I believe if everyone would close their eyes here, Weldon, Ferguson, online, Florida, all the 19 million campuses, close your eyes, because I don't need to see you, but God can see you. Please, no one looking around. But if you say, Pastor David, I want you to pray for me today, because I have been in a patch to where I was beating myself up. I'm not a good dad. I'm not a good mom. I'm not. And today it hit home with me, and I felt a flicker of hope. Come on, raise your hand all over this building and everywhere. I felt a, now I want to pray for you. You can put it down. Nobody. I don't think anybody saw you. Pray this prayer out loud with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to become my Lord and my Savior. And I accept Jesus, even though I'm not perfect. Even though my condition is messed up, my position is right with the Father. And the rest of my life is going to be the best of my life. And I'm going to start giving people the same kind of grace that Jesus has given me. I'm full of grace, full of love. Slow to anger, quick to hear. And I operate in the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. I love you. You can be seated. Check this out.